Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Succeed Intentionally with your host, Monique Davis. Hey, I'm so excited about this podcast, guys. So, of course, you all know that my whole purpose is to impact each and every listener on how to succeed intentionally, how to be intentional in various areas of their life, whether it's being, utilizing your influence or collaborating or business or your career or finances or home or self or faith, all of those wonderful areas of intentional success. And this podcast is really special to me because someone that I will be interviewing is an amazing young man that I have known for years. I've known him for such a long time, and I've literally watched him develop into the man that he has come. I've seen him come from nothing and make a whole lot of something from where he came from. And despite his circumstances, despite his obstacles, he still made it through. And so I'm just excited about this because, it just feels good when you're able to talk to someone who you've known for so long, but also that have a special place in your heart, right? And so without further ado, I'm going to go introduce my guest, Mr. James White.
Mo, what's good? It's been a minute.
Yes, I know. So I'm so excited. I'm so happy to have you on this. And I feel like this proud big sister because I have watched you grow and develop into an amazing man. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, when did we first meet? Like, when did we first meet? And I think it was, when was it? When did we first
Been
meet?
a long time ago. I think it had to be around 2007-ish, 2006-ish, 2005-ish. May have been before then, man. It was at the studio a long time ago. Listen,
Yeah.
Sullivan Road Studio. Sullivan Road
Yeah.
Studio. Not sure
Yes.
what year that was, but Sullivan Road Studio. That's where it was.
That's it. That's it. Because I remember that you were this young kid, and our connection is, mutual friends and someone who I dated back in the day. And I remember when you were first introduced, and we just had a really a good connection because you had so much light. There was so much light in you. And even though you were in dark places and you had dark things that may have been around you, you exuded light. And I remember saying, this kid wants to be a rapper. He is going to make it. Like, he has the heart. Like, he has the spirit. He has the personality. He can do something. He's going to be somebody. So that was my thought, right?
I
And
thought I was T.I. back in them days.
I remember. So listen. So after the rapping, and I think I met you, you couldn't have been more than like 19 or 20. And so after that, what happened with your life? What transpired in your life?
Man, right around the time I think I was 21. I became homeless, and not so much homeless like I didn't have anybody I couldn't go to, but I didn't have anybody I could go to that was in in my immediate area where I lived. I would have had to like go somewhere like wait miles away, and I mean I didn't have transportation, none of that stuff. So basically sleeping in cars some nights and just trying to sell some drugs here and there, get my money and do some things. And one thing ended up, it ended up leading to another, and basically I ended up trying to rob somebody, and I had to go to prison. I did 2 years in prison for it, but it's one of those things that I think back on now and I just ask myself, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. And so you ended up going to prison because, of course, you felt like, from an environmental standpoint, that was your only option. And so you get out of prison, and
Oh,
you
that's
well, first off, before you even go to prison, tell me what your circle looked like. Like, while you were having those types of thoughts, like while you were thinking, okay, this is the only way for me to get it, what was your circle?
Yeah, so first you got to put it in perspective. You got to, well, how was I raised? Where did I grow up? Was my community? And that was like, you know, my household. Everyone in my household quit high school, so no one has a formal education in my household, and I'm the youngest, so I'm looking up everybody else. And by the time I turn 17, I repeat that same step that everybody in my household repeated, and that's to quit school. So when I quit school, you know, I'm hanging out with guys that are doing nothing better with their lives than I'm doing because they don't have an education either. And when you don't have an education, you tend to hang out with other people that don't have educations because people who have similar characteristics, you know, they kind of hang out together and do things together. So the community that I grew up in, mostly everybody, mom was on crack cocaine or prostituting themselves out. Father wasn't in their lives. I mean, this wasn't a one or two or three or four person thing going on in the community. This was over half the community like that where I stayed. So those are the types of individuals that I hung out with, people that wanted to do illegal things, people that wanted to do things that were harmful to the community, just a very volatile community, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And of course, I know because that's how you met me, right?
Yep.
I was in the same boat. And it's funny because I never tried to hide my background. A lot of people, when they get to a certain level, they get to a certain place, they're like, you know, I don't want to really want to share this. I don't really want, people don't need to know that, you know, I thought that dope boys or strippers were the only way, right?
Yeah.
And that was my mentality as well. So I know firsthand what it feels like to be surrounded by that dark matter, right? And yeah, you have to literally have a shift in your own mindset to want to do better. And so that leads us to our topic, which I don't even know if I said because I got so like right into the conversation. But yeah, our topic is, does it matter who's in your circle when you're desiring to be successful? And, you know, learning about our circles when we weren't successful and then learning about our circles now that we are successful, because I believe that you're successful, right? The fact of the matter is, it's a mindset, right?
Yeah.
Success has nothing to do with a dollar amount, has nothing to do with what's in your bank account. Success is what you've had on you, honestly, since I met you. However, it was just about you having the realization of it, right?
Yeah, man, those experiences, you know, I look back at those experiences, and a lot of times people don't understand when I say this, but I say, man, I thank God for those experiences.
Yes.
I really thank God for those experiences because I'm in places now where people have never even dreamed or thought or imagined experiences like that. And it does a lot for me because I have that experience. So I'm able to handle challenges that they think are just insane. And I'm like, oh, that's method. I've been through worse.
Yes. Yes. He made. Listen, I believe that God allowed you to go through every single thing. And I know you believe that as well, just from hearing you speak. But just knowing that you have that stretching capability, like that extra layer of skin, it's something that happens to you. It's something that's the reason why you're built the way you are. You can withstand so much. You can stretch yourself. You can go to law school, and you can, you know, and that's another defeat on its own. Like, first of all, when you go to prison, who goes to law school after prison? Not many people, right? Like, who even wants to touch a courtroom after you go to prison, right? And so you did. So let's talk about that.
I never thought I would be in law school. That was the last thing on my mind when I was walking out of prison November 3rd, 2007. That was the last thing on my mind. The first thing on my mind was going to the studio. I knew I was going to get to the music, get back to the drugs, get back to the women. That was the mindset. But just so happened 4 years after I got out of prison, I'm over one of my cousin's house, and I'm literally there to buy food stamps. Yes, you heard me right. I'm literally there to buy food stamps from him.
And, right.
And this old woman comes outside. I mean, a complete stranger. This is works. A complete stranger comes outside, and she says, "Son, pull your pants up." And I kind of chuckled, and, you know, I pulled my pants up, just trying to be respectful. She was an older lady. And then she looked at me, and she said, "Son, are you in school?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "Would you like to go to school?" And it changed my life. And she didn't even know.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Those encounters, man, those encounters are not chance encounters at all. They are so strategically placed in our lives that they're heavenly, divine encounters. And people, you know, every day people say, "Oh, I want to change the world. I want to change the world." And they're looking in Africa, they're looking in Japan and Somalia and, you know, maybe Haiti, and they're looking in all of these places, and or they're trying to do something that's just huge and big and glamorous. But here's the thing: helping your neighbor, encouraging a neighbor, seeing the light in someone and actually vocalizing that, communicating the light that you see. Oh, I see the light in you. I see God in you. I see this in you. Being able to communicate that, that's how you impact the world. Because I'm pretty sure she didn't know that she was going to say something that's going to change the whole trajectory of your life.
No, she didn't. She didn't know. We met her. She and I, we talk about that all the time. Because sometimes I'll call her, you know, just check up on her, go over her house, cut her grass, you know, just sit out and lemonade. We talk about it. And she's like, "James, you just restored so much faith in my walk with God that you don't even know, because I have been helping so many people who really didn't want the help and really wasn't using her as they should have been using her with the opportunities that she was affording them." And she said, "You came along and you just snatch every opportunity that came your way." Wow. I mean, this woman basically just, she, once I said I was going to go to school, she paid for me to go take my SAT, and she had me in college in 3 months from when I met her, just like
that. That's it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
James, I love it. Do you hear me? I absolutely love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. This is like that. This is what it's about. Yeah. Like, this is how you change the world. This is it. This is it. I literally say, people always feel like you have to have like a nonprofit. You got to do this. You got to go through. Like, come on, people. Look outside. See who needs the help and go to them and ask them. You know, I feel
one
like
person
that,
at a time.
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, it's really paying it forward. It's really paying it forward. And to hear you speak, James, I mean, first of all, you've always been a really good speaker, in my opinion. You've always known how to speak intellectually, I believe. Did you decide to do it all the time in back in the day? No, but it came out now. It was already in you. A lot of this stuff that you have is already in you.
It is.
It just takes the right person to really come about and see it. So here's what I want to ask you now. So you get in school, you start doing a lot of different things in the community. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that real quick. Tell me about some things that you've done in the community. But not only that, but how did you, now for individuals who don't know, because some people don't know this, James. Mm-hmm. You can go to law school being out of prison. Tell them how you did that.
Yeah, well, that's, oh man. So I was in school, I was in undergrad. So Minister Hall, now that's the lady that actually in school who I was just telling about. So Minister Hall, she said, "James, focus on education, because education is going to give you a lot of money. You're a young Black male, and they want more Black males in the classroom." So when I went to undergrad, Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina, I majored as an education major, and that was the path to be a teacher, because I felt like I could give back to the young Black men that I knew didn't have a lot of young Black men in their lives. So I did that, but by the time it was time to actually go student teach, the background check came back. And when the background check came back, it was like, "Hey, James, you know, you can't be a teacher. You can't go student because you have a felony." So I'm like, "What?" You know, it kind of just blew me out of the water. So I had another mentor at this time that I met through a speaking engagement that I did. And I call him Colonel. He's in D.C. So I told him about the situation. He flew me up to D.C. and he introduced me to his network of people. One of those people was an attorney. And it was a guy who sort of had my background. He didn't go to prison, but he did have some felony charges and stuff. And he said, you know that you can be an attorney, right? I said, man, you mean to tell me I can't teach, but I can go to law school? He said, yeah. So it was crazy. But that was the start on the journey to getting to law school.
Wow. And so, and I'm pretty sure, did you have to do like an expungement and things like that?
No. So in Georgia, you know, there is no expungement if you convict, if you pled out to a felony, got convicted of a felony, you can't get an expungement. You can get a pardon and a restoration of civil rights. I'm going through that process now, but I'm also going through another process. So 2015, the Georgia legislatures, they just made a law retroactive, and the law is the First Offenders Act. So when you got your time and your lawyer never said, hey, this is your first felony, you could actually plead out to what's called the First Offenders Act. If your lawyer never told you that, I don't care how long your case has been out of date or whatnot, like you've been out of prison, you're off probation now. If your lawyer didn't tell you that, Georgia just made the law retroactive in 2015. So you can go right now to the courthouse and you have to meet with an attorney and the prosecutor, and you go through the process of actually getting your case as a First Offenders Act. And what a First Offenders Act does is, as long as you completed your sentence, so you went to jail, you did your probation time, you didn't get in any trouble, it completely wipes it off your record like it never happened. So now I'm going through that process. Yeah, it's big. It's huge. I can't believe Georgia's doing it.
I can't believe it either. I mean, you know, and I'm pretty sure you know that I have a brother who's been incarcerated since he was 15 years old. And, you know, he's still incarcerated. And you know, with his crime and, you know, what he did, he pled guilty, you know, of course. And, you know, he's going through the process. But my hope and my dream is that when he comes out, he can hit the ground running. You know, he can go and do whatever his dreams are, desires, whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
But it's just in Georgia law, you're an accessory and you get sometimes more time than the person who did it, you know? So
that's his
scenario. So this information is really good for me. And I'm sure our listeners out there who have individuals who they know of that may have that type of background. And even some of my listeners that may have that background and they're thinking to themselves, I can never get past this, you know, $7 an hour job or I can't get out of this warehouse or this distribution center or this logistics centers or being a truck driver because of my record, because those are the typical jobs that allow you to have a record. But the wonderful thing about, you know, what you said is you can do it. And Georgia happens. So thank you so much for that tidbit. So as it relates to your new circle, you've already told me a couple of things. You said two key things that I believe has to happen in anyone's circle. Number one is a mentor. I believe that having a mentor in your circle is the best recipe for success. And so you already having that in your circle, having multiple mentors, that's me all day, having multiple mentors, that's it. That's the key to success. It's amazing. So tell me who else is in your circle? You don't have to name names, but like, tell me the types of people now that are in your circle.
I mean, you wouldn't even believe it. It's so crazy. It's like, so Colonel, he's like I said, he's from DC. He's been in the Army 20 years and he just has a really great network in the DC area. So DC's became like my second home. And as you know, well, I think you know, I was on Capitol Hill last summer. That's where I law clerked for Senator Lankford. So DC's kind of become my second home. So that's one of my mentors. My other mentor is guy in Atlanta. He's an accountant, and he's just, oh man, he's really, really connected with politicians, and politicians is, you know, it can be a scary scene. A lot of people want to get involved in politics, but I love politics. I'm always around it because you have to be informed, you know.
Yeah.
So I believe getting in politics should be everybody's duty, not just something that we want to do, but it should be your duty to get involved, to make changes in your community. So Mark, we're always talking. He's always making sure I'm on the right path. He's and all of my mentors are always making sure that I'm giving back, making sure that I'm reaching back, because I'm always standing on their shoulders. So I have to let people also stand on my shoulders. And my mentor, this is the mentor who I never thought I would have. The Chief Supreme Court Justice of Georgia is my mentor.
And wow.
Justice Melton is such a great, intelligent guy. So humble. I mean, you would never even know who the guy was just walking on the street, but he's so humble, and he teaches me to remain humble no matter how high up I go. And he always has a saying for me, and that's, you can walk with kings, but never lose the common touch. You know, you always want to be able to go back home. You always want to be able to relate to the people. And that's just something that I never forget. So, you know, even though I'm in law, I'm doing speaking engagements at prison, you know, different prisons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last visit that I went to in a prison, you know what? So one of the guards asked me as I'm walking through, she said, "Hey, why did you dress up?" And I thought to myself, I was like, wow, so that's how you think of the inmates, right? That they're not worthy of somebody putting on clothes to show them respect. You know? So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that is, oh my Lord, that's like mindset. And the fact is, she's over them.
Yeah, I know.
That's what makes it even.
Yeah, that's like the big
that's. Deal. Oh, that's what makes it horrible, is that you get these individuals that don't even care about the inmates. And let me just say this: I don't care what you do. At the end of the day, everyone deserves a second chance. Absolutely. Absolutely every person in life deserves the opportunity to show and prove if they, you know, can really do something with a second chance. But I know you mentioned being a hometown hero, right? Being someone who can go home and stay in touch and with individuals who are maybe still at the same places that they were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But tell me, how do they interact with you now?
If I could just show you my Facebook page and my Facebook messages, you know, and that's not a bragging thing. That's just like a real story. Like, I mean, I get hundreds of messages that, you know, it's people, "James, man, I can't believe," or they'll say, "LT, I can't believe you're doing what you're doing, man. Man, how do I do it? How do I get in school? How do I enroll? I caught this charge, or what to do?" And, you know, like everybody that's just, they're really, really proud of me. Everybody kind of just, you know, it's like everybody wants a piece of you now. Everybody wants a piece
of
you.
And
I'm okay with that, because I know it comes with the territory, as far as when you get out here and you're actually giving back and you're actually helping people. People want their help, you know? People want
their help. I honestly think it's definitely time for you to make a movement, because there's people who need it. There's people who need that mentorship, you know, from a one-on-one perspective, but I mean, you're in law school, so maybe from a once a month, but still, either way, it's definitely something that you definitely have to do, because it's needed in our community. And I was laughing because even in our meeting today, so, you know, I give the information to my assistant and I'm like, yeah, LTY or whatever. And so it was just hilarious, because they were like, "Well, that's not his name." I was like, "Oh yeah, that's right, it's James." So yeah, so I know you from being LT. That's what I call you. And James seems so like I don't know James, but I do know James at the same time. You know,
yeah, I didn't know James either.
Yeah, you got introduced to him. That's good. Yeah. That's amazing. I say the same thing about Mo. Like Mo is my nickname. Mo is the name that a lot of individuals call me. However, Monique is who I've become. You know, in my becoming, and Monique. Is the name, you know, that I was given, and it's so much more powerful than just Mo, you know. But so thinking about how they treat you now and how just things are just different in your life, is there anything that you would tell your 21 or maybe 19-year-old self? If you could go back in time, if you had like this power and God said, okay, you get one day to go back in time, what would you do? And what would you say to that person, to LT? What would James say to LT?
I would tell LT that, you know, in this life, you know, it's like the weather. It's like seasons, you know. Things change, people come, people go. You got three types of people in life. You got confidants. Those are people who are for you. They are not for what you are for. They're not against what you're against. They're just for you. It's a person you trust in. And you only get one or two of these people in life. And then you have your constituents. These are people who are for what you are for. They're not for you. They're for what you are for. And the moment you're no longer for that, they're gone. But that's okay because seasons change. People come and people go. And you got comrades. These are people who are not for you. These are people who are not for what you are for. But these are people who are against what you are against. And the moment you are no longer against what they are against, they're out of here. And that's okay because seasons change. And people come and people go. You have to remember that. So when we talk about putting ourselves in a circle, surrounding ourselves with a certain group, we have to understand that everybody comes in our life for a reason. You know, you're not going to get married to every girlfriend that you have, right? But you're going to take experiences from each and every relationship that you have with people. So I would want my younger self to know how works, man, because so long I thought that people who were around me were going to be around me my whole life, and I supposed to do what they do, mimic what they do, mimic what they taught me. But that's not the case. That's not the case.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm telling myself.
That's good. That's good. And I'm pretty sure yourself, your previous self, it would have been way over his head. He would have been like, what are you talking about? but no, it's actually really sound advice. It's good advice because, I mean, at the end of the day, your inner circle is your circle in itself, I feel like, will change, right? Yeah. I do believe that there's an inner circle that, you know, the holiest of holies, I feel like, you know, there's certain individuals that won't change. Those individuals that come, you know, they've passed every veil. There's no such thing as secrets or hiding anything. It's just, it is what it is. And I think that as you get older, you do get those confidants and that perspective.
Yeah.
But I do believe you get the comrades and the constituents too. And I get in the mentors, and even the mentors change, you know, the mentor that I had. Yeah. When I was younger, I can't really go to her for things now because she's not on that level, but I needed to her to pull me out from below the level that I was at that time, you know? So even mentors change, having that mindset that your inner circle or the circle of friends that you have around you can change, and you can have different groups. I remember I had Buckhead friends, and then I had Bankhead friends, you know, I had all sorts of circles. I was always the person that people considered a chameleon because I could relate to either way. You know, I like nice things, but at the same time, I never lost touch of who I am. And
my thing is, can people identify those people? Mm-hmm. Can they say, hey, this is the confidant? hey, this is the constituent. Hey, this is the comrade. That's, I think a lot of people don't know who's who, you know?
Yeah.
You're operating in a system where you don't know who's doing what to you. You know, you, like, a lot of people think constituents, comrades, and they're spilling their guts to them about everything when they don't really know that this is a person that is not for them. It's just a person that is what they are for.
They're a supporter.
Yeah, you got to know. And I think the most paramount thing is courage to face change. I think that's a big piece. That took me a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that you're ever developing. It's nothing that just kind of you just get it. It's all change is always going to hit you. Yeah. One of the things that I always say is change doesn't always feel good, but all good things come from change. And so when you have that mentality on everything that happens, it's just like, you know what? What's a small thing to a giant? Okay. Yeah. What's next? Okay, hit me with your best shot. Come on, let's do it. You know, it's just like
I love it because there's no place for fear with it. You know, place for fear. You gotta have a relationship with God is essential, man. So
yeah, absolutely, and it's so good to hear a man say that, but most importantly, a Black man. And of course, my podcast is for everyone, and I have a little bit of everyone that listens in to my podcast, but as an African-American woman, when I hear an African-American young man, okay, say that God is key, that's what I do everything for. Like, that's what I do this for. That's why I am, and my husband, that's why we go the extra mile to make sure that we do things for our youth, especially our young men, because at the end of the day, they're the leaders, right? They're supposed to step up to the plate and be leaders. Now, not to say women aren't leaders, because hello, I'm a leader, but men take a different level of authority, and they take a different just level in general in terms of our society and our community. And a lot of times they're targeted. A lot of times they feel like crabs in a barrel. A lot of times they feel like a victim of their environmental circumstance. There's so many different things that young African Americans have encountered and endured. And so when you say that God is the key, that's so key. Like, that is, I love to hear that. And I'm excited. I'm really excited about what God is doing in your life and where things are headed for you. And, you know, and if you don't know, you need to know. If you ever need me for anything, you can always connect with me, contact me, reach out to me. It's all love here. So, you know, I got to make sure I say that too. But,
you know, I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
My life abounds with grace and mercy from God, you know, since 2011. And to me, grace is unmerited favor, you know, and God's love. And mercy is a disposition to be kind and forgiving. And I take those characteristics with me daily as I wake up and as I go on my journey throughout law school, throughout speaking engagements, throughout getting out in the community, giving back. And, you know, it makes me feel so good to be able to help people who are in dire circumstances and in circumstances that are very similar to the circumstances that I grew up. So I can relate. I can empathize with these people. And, you know, it's like, I'm going into law, real estate development. I'm going to be doing all these things. I have to be able to carve out time to give back, build up my community. That's my thing. I'm ready to build my community back.
Yes, that's it. That's it. I'm telling you, it's time for your movement to start. It's time for you to start really, really honing into that. I believe. I'm just like, getting into big sister mode, like, you need to be doing this. Come on. I see what you're doing in the community. I see you making moves, but again, I definitely think that's going to be your next level. So we talked about a lot today. We got a chance to really talk about, do you need, you know, a certain type of inner circle in order for you to succeed? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you need a certain type of individual. You need a mentor. You need an accountability partner. You need the confidant. You need the comrades. You need the constituents. You need all of those people that we talked about, because that's what a good circle kind of is mixed with. You know, that's the recipe for success. And I believe in the power of collaboration and how collaboration can really help you touch territories that you would not have touched before if you were just doing things by yourself. And so James, AKA or used to be LT, is now he's now going into this next realm of power, this next realm of intentional behaviors, and this next realm of success. And so my prayer and my hope is that anyone who's listening to this, who has a young African-American man that's in their life, whether it's a coworker's son or your own son or a relative, that you can do anything that you put your mind to. There is nothing in the world that can stop you except you. And so I just appreciate every person who has been on this podcast this long with us. I know this has been a really great one because you're still on, but I want to give James the opportunity to give us some information on how we can get in touch with him and how we can maybe donate to his cause or perhaps even partner with him. Go ahead and give us some information before we go.
Yeah, my Instagram is @ the example. That's @TheExample at the example, @TheExample. I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm going to have this nonprofit that I'm starting, but that's in the works. And right now, if you want to get in touch with me, you can always reach out through that Instagram, or I'm on Facebook, James White III. You can reach out to me there. Those are my two social medias that I'm always on, and I always respond, you know, because a lot of people contact me through both of those social media. So I'm always responding to those.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. So you heard him. He is _the example. And you guys need to connect with him and ask him, hey, how can I help your movement today? How can I help you be great today? Because the key and the name of the game is for us all to be successful, but we can only do it by helping each other, right? All right, guys. So that was our topic and our conversation for today. Thank you, James, so much for being a part of Succeed Intentionally's podcast. You are now an official intentional lifestyler, okay?
Thank you for having me, Mo. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes, yes. And guys, listen, make sure you stay connected. If you have any tips or suggestions for my next episode, please leave a message. You know how anchor.fm is. You can leave a voice message. You can inbox. Man, oh my goodness, my podcast timed out, guys. I really, really wanted you to hear the last couple of seconds, but guess what? It's all good. We're going to start focusing in on a men's edition of Succeed Intentionally. So make sure you subscribe, whether it's on Google Play, App Store, within iPhone, or Spotify, or Anchor.fm, wherever you decide to listen in, just type in Succeed Intentionally and my podcast will pop up. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope and pray that this is not your last time. See you soon.